You are listening to a sermon by Pastor Hoffman of Christ Lutheran Church in Coos Bay, Oregon. In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon for this 11th Sunday after Trinity is according to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. So here it is again. Another reading that's supposed to just be a slam dunk. Easy peasy. Let's get in there, get her done, and be in the fellowship for coffee and other assortments 10 minutes early, Pastor. What say thee? That's where it gets awkward, especially for Lutherans, because it's never that easy, is it? Here's Jesus telling a parable about people who are pepoithotos, f autois. To say in Greek even sickens me. And when you say it out loud in English, it isn't much better. Even the ESV translation chickens out a little bit. To say pepoithotos, f oitois, is they trusted in themselves isn't really the super good way to go. Literally, it comes from the root word pytho, which is a word of faith, a word of belief. But not just any old belief, but a strong, unwavering, and persistent belief in something. Well, that otois gives that away. This is why we learn Greek in seminary and keep reading it in the parish. The otois is the killer in that sentence grouping. It means all that sincere belief stuff, yes, but the otois makes it mean that it was in themselves. And that's what they were faithing in. That's what they were trusting in, believing strongly in. Keep in mind, Jesus saying this was kind of awkward, even scandalous, because he was telling a story about Pharisees. They were generally thought of as stand-up guys, super religious, very pious, most likely closer to God than the rest of us, if we're being honest. So there's a problem with using a Pharisee, isn't there? With the predominant view that the Pharisees were pretty much perfect and Jesus painting them in the light of being, well, wretched, lowlife, who believed in himself so much he talked to God like he was an equal. Standing in church, face raised, sup, Lord? Looking up to God all comfortable and smug. He compared to the antithesis of the Pharisee, you notice? A tax collector. The perennial enemy, the bad guy. Known for not only being in charge of collecting you, your taxes, but also wrecking you. The guy was famous for taking way more than expected. He had wealth, he had power, he had nice things, and everybody who sees him knows how he got all that stuff. Not by the sweat of his brow, but by taking and taking from the sweat of other people's brows. These guys personified believing in yourself. I mean, they literally decided how much they were going to get paid. They literally decided how much they were going to collect, even though that wasn't what they were called to do. They were called to take enough so that you could live. And interestingly, when sinful people were given that choice, imagine that, they got greedy. So you can see why this becomes awkward for a pastor. We're supposed to just focus on the badness of the Pharisee and the goodness of the tax collector, but it's not a fair assessment of the text. In fact, you can't really understand the text until you first realize this. Both men were guilty of the exact same thing. Both of them were a couple of self-centered, self-absorbed robbers, thieving hypocrites who equally stood before God as guilty and deserving nothing but death and hell. We already know this from the preceding text. Jesus was telling this parable, and Luke even acknowledges it, because this idea of believing in oneself, trusting in oneself, literally worshiping oneself, only giving a darn about numero uno. He was telling this parable to a bunch of people who were doing the exact same thing. The text says it. So he told it to them, and he tells it to us, to you personally. It's not very hard to find narcissists, is it? They're not really a rare bear, as we used to say. Generations being taught to find themselves, believe in themselves, to make yourself the first priority, to love themselves as being the greatest love of all, of St. Whitney of Houston. How many marriages ended because they told themselves, well, if we're just not happy, the kids won't be happy, so in order to make our kids happy, we'll make ourselves happy. That's my generation. My generation, that's in a nutshell. Now, I'm not talking about violence or adultery, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about marriage is hard. And if the husband and wife are only trying to praise the God of themselves, then there certainly is no room for another person in that marriage, let alone God. And I mean the actual God. So believing in yourself is also how the church in America has fallen apart. I've cracked the code. The selfishness of churchgoers who tend to join churches but never ever really engage all the way to the people who have been there a long time and sort of give up, saying, I did a lot of stuff for God through our congregation a long time ago. I'll let the next generation take over. To that I say, who? The ones who were raised to worship themselves? Those guys are in crisis right now. They're surrounded by the world who wants them wrapped in themselves. The one world promises them a cocoon, a transformative chrysalis, the promises to be so transformative that one day they'll fully realize themselves and their self-love. An amazing butterfly of joy will emerge from this. And they can finally have peace with themselves. They will no longer be too fat, too ugly, too awkward, too anxious, too old, too young, too shy, too loud, too broke. They will finally not be lacking. It isn't too long before you realize the world didn't offer you a cocoon, did it? That wasn't some chrysalis transforming me into the most me I can be. It's a body bag. A place where all of your selfishness, envy, laziness, sloth, greed, and every other self-loving virtue gets you. Dead. Death, decay, rot, stench. And why is it so hard to see? Well, that's easy too. Because you're blocking yourself from seeing the would-be butterfly body bag. You don't need a pandemic to see people worshiping themselves for one reason or another. The exact same people who are not coming to church for non-pandemic reasons are not coming to church for pandemic reasons. And it's not just us. It's not just the Missouri Synod. And what is the conversation in their heads? What are they having? You know, for such a large amount of people who love to wax theologically about, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, are the same people who really are routinely away from the Word of God, the absolution, the sacrament, you know, all those good things God gives. Pretty soon they start sounding like the Pharisees, don't they? They start, as we talked about even in Bible study today, that's why I was laughing to myself in Bible study. It's not because I'm just crazy. Well, I'm a little bit, but not for this reason. Because so much about what we were talking about in John, Luke is talking about it here. The Pharisees made everything God said doable, digestible. Enough ketchup was put on it to where you could eat it. And pretty soon we were looking at it and they didn't even recognize God's word anymore. And Jesus just came right out and said it. You know, you have this law. And then I tell them what the law says, not what they were being fed. And then they hated him for it. They hated Jesus for saying, here's the truth. You guys have been misled. You've walked into the trap of thinking that the law of God is something doable to where you can find your righteousness. It's disgusting. Because then we start all sounding like Pharisees and arguing with me after church and blah, blah, blah. The tax collector becomes very interesting now, doesn't he? He's an interesting character. He's not just the guy that we go, oh, what a superhero. Because he's guilty of the same sins. He's a wretch, just as the Pharisee. Only this guy has shown something that the Pharisee wasn't showing. This guy has shed his belief in himself. He's shed this. It's gone. His belief in himself, religion, for the religion of the Lord our God. The one where Jesus is the Lord of the church. He does this by how? He confesses his sins. He doesn't go up there and say, Lord, it's awesome being me. I'm so glad I'm not like that guy over there. And we don't really, a lot of us may not even know any tax collectors. Right now, all the Pharisees are doing now is they're standing in the temple of their politics. And all they're doing is, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that libtard over there. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that mega. And all they're saying is showing their righteousness and not love for one single person. Oh, I feel so good about myself because I just cut that person off at the knees. And once they start hearing God's word, they're going to be like, wait a minute, that's not the gospel I signed on for. The tax collector is interesting. The one, he actually is brought low by the sheer weight of his sins. This guy who gave up believing in himself is now believing in Christ. He is now a new creation. This tax collector did not take off his body bag, did he? But rather it was ripped off by Christ. He was rescued from the death of his idolatry and truly emerged as Christ said this. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Rather than the other, meaning the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Humbled and exalted, humbled and exalted. A theme in the scriptures. Two fancy words meaning brought low and raised up. The world is filled with sinners. These readings that went together today so well, what do we see? We see the Garden of Eden. We see Adam and Eve, and we see Cain and Abel, actually, I mean. And Cain, and we see that Cain is being sinful. And that's like not a shocker to anybody, I hope, at this point. And he's totally wrong. Everything you did was wrong. You had one job. You didn't do it. And then he said, Lord, This weight I've placed on myself is too much. I can't bear it. As soon as I go out of here, they're going to kill me. And God is saying, no, that's not what's going to happen. You deserve it, but it's not going to happen. And then here's St. Paul, a person who, theologically speaking, I'm not even in his zip code. I'm not even in the orbit around his theological amazingness. And he's like, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain." Wow, St. Paul, I'm not good enough to be an apostle. Hello, future pastors, I think you should all read this. But on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but by the grace of God with me. So you see here in Genesis, Cain, you deserve death. Paul, you deserve worse because you were killing people who loved Jesus. And now you serve God. And then here is Jesus talking to people saying, "Hey, you guys, you trust in yourself and that's wrong. That's idolatry. The world is filled with sinners. The church is filled with sinners. The answer isn't you. It's Jesus Christ for you, given in word and sacrament. The private hell of self-worship is removed only by Christ. The hopelessness of this never-ending quest for self is removed and replaced with Jesus and guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. And it's guaranteed with hope, with faith. And it seems like it's hope that we're needing right now, isn't it? Well, thanks be to God, in Christ, you have it. God is merciful, and he forgives you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess this faith as found in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten and sovereign
of all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, crucified also for us. Again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, Holy and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.